All right, so let's try to we got 35 minutes or so. So let's try to get through a little bit more of Challah V'Akum, and then Be'ez Hashem on not Sunday. I'm not going to be sure Sunday, but on Monday we'll get into Gvina Sakum. So like we said, the simon really is like three different simon, and there's Chal Gvina and Chema, but we'll do Gvina and Chema probably together. We'll probably cover it in one shir, hopefully on Monday. Now, as far as Challah V'Akum, so we went through a little bit yesterday with Meisha's Mahalich and the Pre-Chadish's Mahalich. So Soloveitchik's approach involved a number of elements, and I forgot where I saw this even. I just found it in my notes, but I'm sure I heard it from different Talmidim of Soloveitchik. First of all, he pointed out that there are no non-kosher animals that are milked, so it's even better than Ein Davar Tamei Be'edro. Ein Davar Tamei Be'edro means that there's no non-kosher animal that could be milked in your flock. But when nobody milks non-kosher animals, it just doesn't happen at all, so then it's not just there's no chance of non-kosher milk. The problem is that it's very difficult to ascertain this metzius. And in fact, this is what the Chazon Ish really quotes from Pri Chadash as well, that's the primary heter of the Pri Chadash, but it's rejected strongly, as we pointed out, from the Chasam Sofer. But maybe even if you want to be machmir, the Pri Chadash is at least a sniff lahakel. The Chuvus Melamed Lahoel Chelik Beis and Melamed Gimel, when he discusses unsupervised buttermilk for a sick person, so he writes, Imutu lishtos buttermilk shel nachrim l'tzar krofua v'uchalav shenishar min hazana achrei asher biru mimena hachema shekorn butter. It's what is buttermilk? It's the milk that's left over after they've taken off the butter. We'll get to how they make butter soon, Be'ezras Hashem. But it is a milk product. It's undoubtedly a milk product. I remember when we were in Israel a couple of summers ago, my wife sent me to the local makolet to go buy milk, and I came back with what I thought was milk. All the kids put it in their cereal, and they're like, ah, this is disgusting. And it turned out that I bought buttermilk. So, because I don't speak Hebrew, apparently. I don't know how to read. But it looked like a bottle of milk to me, so I bought it. Who sells buttermilk? I don't know. But so anyway, so he writes, Yodu ha-shita se-prichadish de-matir chalav shal nachri be-ein davar tamim be-edro, that when there's ein davar tamim be-edro, the prichadish is meikil, v'risi b'lekat ha-kemach, tufos Amsterdam, she-evi kein gam b'shem radvaz, v'nachlas Yaakov, v'dvar Shmuel, v'beis Yaakov, that there are many other achronim prichadish not a das yachid, and he says, I don't have those svarim to be my ayin for them. Achin tzorich la'ayin kikvar skimu aposkim to local prichadash. He says, I know the prichadash is not a das yachid. I don't have all the svarim that they quote that agree to the prichadash, but it's really irrelevant because we don't pass on the prichadash. Ve'in matir chol v'shalachim v'mitzayin ra kalayadas. Whoa, says Moni Doyle. The only people that are making the chol v'shalachim are kalayadas, or people that are not so religiously observant. Amnam simu kufi besiv yidal in matir mechaber kutach shalachim. That the machaber allows kutach, so the hikshu, so everyone asks, so yesh bonus yovei de chalba, but doesn't kutach shalakum have milk in it? Ein tal shetiris bedochach, so prichadish tirits, kivan shaso kutach chiyach sof al tchilasa dlo yirvachal of tamei. Well, they needed to make kutach, so they would never mix chalav tamei into it, because chalav tamei is not an ingredient in kutach. Meaning if they were trying to sell you milk, so then maybe they'll mix chalav tamei into it. But if they're trying to make kutach, then they wouldn't put chalav tamei into it. Chen kasuv kuf tes vav, sivkan chalav, yesh lahatir chema, ap yadua shesh ben nesivu dechalva, kivin shen nachri rotza lasas chema min hachalav. Lama yariv chalav tamei. If the guy is trying to make butter, what would he gain by putting non-kosher? You can't make butter out of non-kosher milk. It's impossible. So what would he gain by adding non-kosher milk into the butter? He says that you can at least use the prichadash as a sniff. So sniff number one is that you have the prichadash. Now it happens to be in Eretz Yisrael, the idea that there's no such thing as non-kosher milk is no longer true. You know, Trader Joe's has all these weird foods. So it's like there is like a whole market for people that are into like weird types of foods. In Eretz Yisrael, you can find camel milk. In America, you can find other kinds of milk. I don't know if you can find camel milk or not, but you can probably find other kinds of milk. Rabbi Whiteman, who is the Rav HaMachshir of Tanuva, I think, wrote extensively about milk, and he just points out that nowadays it's much more expensive, that any non-kosher milk is going to be much more expensive anyway. So maybe that's another sniff lahakel. Another sniff lahakel is the government inspections. We know that mirtas is required, but actual witnessing of the milking is not required. And the USDA, like Ramesha says, creates a sense of mirtas. And even the Chassam Sofer maybe would agree, because knowledge equals testimony, Shavuos Daf Lamed Daled, that Eidei Yediya is good enough, and that's the reason to assume that there is a sense of mirtas. Now, if you look at Rav Sturmbach and Shuvas Van Hagels, Chayil Beis, and Mishnah and Gimel, he thinks that there are certain benefits of mixing non-kosher milk, and reasons to assume that there won't be mirtas for mixing non-kosher milk. But that's at least the second side, like Rav Moshe said. And then the third side, that as they say from a Soloveitchik, is that maybe the gezeira of Chalav Akum was only instituted on a cow that's milked by hand. But a machine milked cow, maybe the gezeira was never made originally on a cow that's machine milked, because that's a totally different way of getting the milk from the cow. That would solve the problem of davar b'shem minyan tzarach minyan achala atiro, meaning any heter you can come up with, you can say, but I don't care if the reason doesn't apply. If it was a formal gzeiru, the local log said davar b'shem minyan, you need minyan achala atiro. So if you say, no, but this wasn't included in that davar b'shem minyan. The problem with that is that should allow for cheese also, and it doesn't, you know, which is obviously not accepted practice. It is discussed also by Rav Breish in the Chalkas Yaakov in Yardea Simen Lamed Hei, where he says that if you're going to say such a kula, then Yishtakach Toras Chalav Akum Mi Yisrael, everyone will forget that there even is such a thing about Chalav Akum. So bottom line is, there are Snifim Lahakel, and Rav Moshe held, I mean, there's the Prichadosh, there's Rav Moshe, and then Rav Soloveitchik puts together all the other Snifim of the various the other shitos, when you throw in the machine milking as well. Now, let's get to the Ramah. There is a Ramah in Sif Aleph. The Ramah writes over here in Sif Aleph, V'im chol bo avi chav miktsas behemos, v'lo hayisham Yisrael. The guy already milked some of the animals, and there was no Jew present. V'achar kach bo Yisrael el acherim, achshav bizman hazeh, she'ein chol av davar tamei matzi klal muter. So what did he say? That Now that you don't have chalav tamei at all, it's mutter. Miu im lo ba shama yisrael ad achar shenech v'kulam having chalav shchalav chavim da asura. Then it becomes chalav akum, which is going to be asur. So if the Jew came when some cows were already milked, he could be makel nowadays, but only if he shows up before the milking was totally done. If the Jew shows up after the milking is totally finished, then it's aser even if ein davar tamei be'edro. So what's the case? The case is mashgiach came late, right? They have the farm, the Chalav Yisrael farm, and they have a mashgiach that's supposed to be there. The mashgiach woke up late that morning. He missed shachris or whatever, he had to daven at a later minyan. By the time he showed up, they were already milking the cows. So the Ramah's makel if the mashgiach shows up late. So the Shach and the Taz are unhappy about this kula of the first half of the Ramah. If you would possibly have a Tarubas Davar Tamei, Shach says clearly, Lo yadati me ayin hotzi arav zeh, lo vanti svarasal. I don't see where the svara would be that you could be makel. Taz and Sivkat and Vav, that is really a chumra of the Ramah. It says the Taz, he reinterprets all the Ramah, turns the Ramah on its head, and says, no, Chas v'Shalom, he's not being makel over here. It's a chumra that the Ramah say. Why? Because he's talking about a Jew's cows on a Jew's farm. It happens to be they're non-Jewish farmhands. That's what he's talking about. So he has no incentive to mix in treif milk, and if it was a non-Jew's cows, then for sure it would be us. There's no question. The Ramah is saying that even though it's a Jew's cows on a Jew's farm, if you miss the entire milking, it's going to be asir. But if you caught some of the milking, then it's going to be mutter. So the Taz understands this Ramah really is an extraordinary chumrah, that even on a Jew's farm, you can have a problem. He says Zeh Koyel Cholid Behemos Yisrael Berefes Shachori Beis Yisrael Ubehedi Masayim Sham Ba'agosh Shari Dur B'Darkei Moshe Anum Cholim Shachol Ba'avichav Mi Behemos Shalo Lo Shavinu Klal Elam Ken Yisrael Ro'ehu. You know, the Gemara never talks about a Jew's cow. So the Taz understands that the Rama came to address that issue that the Gemara never addressed. What if a guy is milking, but it's a Jew's cow? So, you know, unlike Bishalakum, where it doesn't matter whose food it is, if the guy is doing the cooking, although you have Beis Shal Yisrael, but when it comes to Chalavakum, whose cow it is should really matter. And the Rama is addressing that issue. Shach says that, you know, if you'd say like the Taz, that it's a Jew's cow, then it should be mutter even if the Jew shows up after the milking is over. And Shach says, well, if it all belongs to Jews, it's not b'chal the gezeira. He says the Rama must be relying on, must be saying what we thought he said, that it's a non-Jew's cow, and he's relying on Rabbeinu Tam. But the Shach goes through a whole thing. He misunderstood the Rabbeinu Tam. Bottom line is, Shach understands that the Rama is a kula. The Taz understands that the Rama is a chumra, and the Shach says the Rama is a kula, but you can't rely on the kula of the Rama. So effectively, both the Shach and the Taz say that Mashgiach shows up late, and they've already started milking the cows. You cannot be Mekel, even though the Rama would be Mekel in that case.
Why shouldn't it matter whose cow it is?
Because that's the Gzeira.
I'm saying because there's a chash that he's going to mix in Chalav Tam, and it's going to matter.
Yeah, so if he's working for you, why would he mix in Chalav Tam? He's just got to milk your cows. That's his job. Now, in the Tzvilat Tzadik, on the bottom of the page, it's printed in the bottom page in the Shulchan Aruch also, in the Otzer Mefarshim section. He writes, Hashach Sivkat Yud Gimel Nidchak Bazet, Delav Dafka Karabina Tami, Shum Dolom Estavir Lechalik, Uleani Estaiti Svara Gedola Lechalik, Diesh Kan Svek Sveka, Shem Elo Haya Shum Chalav Tamei, Vim Tim Tzolomar Haya, Harom Chalav Ksheru Ubatul Barov Min Bimino Minatar. He says it's Ki'ilu Svek Sveka, that maybe there was no Chalav Tamei there, and even if there was Chalav Tamei, it would only be a concern Midrabban, because Midarais would be Batul Barov. Raftel Kaman Matsuch Shishim, Hainu Bevade Chalav Eino, I typed it up, Bevade Chalav Eino Yehudi, yeah. That's when you have Vade Chalav Nachri there, that's when we say you're going to need Shishim. Aval Bechashasha Ki Agavna, the Diavad Mutter, Vade L'Kuli Al Masagi Barov, in Matiyonasan, he says, "Ve'efshar devada im also cholish nechlev achar bias Yisrael omid levad." He says it could be that if the chalav that was milked after you came was separated, bekli. Then the Rama would be moded that whatever was milked before you came is going to be aser. I mean, the whole situation is a bidyevet, that all the stuff got mixed together. Same Cain, Ishlamar, Dalidetah, Rovis, Be'emes, Kulei Hai, Lo Asur, Rabbanim, Mishum, Lo Plug, Rabbanim. That the Lo Plug doesn't go to that extent. And the Aruch HaShulchan relies on this, B'Shas Adchak. You know, Rav Moshe brings this up. You know, Rav Moshe has the three tshuvas in a row about Chalav Yisrael. In the end of the second tshuva, he brings this up. Because he was asked that the facts on the grounds are that even though the milk companies have their own milk, which, you know, you want to say FDA regulations or whatever, they have their own milk, but Rav Moshe was told that they supplement with milk that comes from surrounding farms, and that's not supervised by the government. So what do you say about that? That sometimes they need to produce more, they need more milk, they'll get from the other farms in the neighborhood where the milk is not government supervised. So they ask Ramosha how we can rely on Edi Yedia, considering that the milk from the surrounding farms, there is no Edi Yedia. So Ramosha brings this Rama, that the miyut is from the neighboring farms, the rove is from what there is Edi Yedia on, and the Matiyonasan, that when there's a tarovis of the rove with the miyut, that you could be Mekel. So Ramosha puts all of that together. Okay, what about dairy equipment on Chol of Yisrael, right? This comes up a lot, obviously, for someone who wants to be Makan on Chol of Yisrael. So what about something that's D-E? So the Rama continues and tells us, Chol of Akum, Oseres Kelim, Shinus Bashlevem, Kishar Yisrael. It's an Isser, of course, it's going to trafe up Kelim. Avu B'Shein Rak Safik Shem Yira Badavitame, even though it's only a Safik, maybe there was non-kosher milk. Yeah, but Chol of Akum is an Isser. V'chein Gvin Yosem. They'll tell Rovishala, Shimnis Arva Behetra Kol Shari. He says, you know, chema is only a matter of minag anyway. So when something's only a matter of minag, you're not going to trafe up the kelim as a result of that. But he clearly says that blios are forbidden. So the Shach in Sivkat and Tazvav writes that even though the Yisra Vahadra holds that even blios of the cheese are batel b'rov, over here the Ramah speaking in the case where the contents are rov k'neged the kli. Whoa! What did the Shach just do over there? He made a major akimta that turns the Ramah on its head and turns it into a kula. Right, when you say, when is it going to be that the kelim are going to be a problem? That's when the blios and the kelim are the rov klape whatever you're cooking in those kelim. But if whatever you're cooking in the kelim is rov klape the blios, oh, then it's going to be okay. The Ramah just happened to be assuming the rare, almost impossible case where there are more blios than there are contents of the kli. So, and the Shach has, you shouldn't cook in the kli l'chachila, but even if you did, it's mutter if there's a rov. And that's why Rav Moshe has a tshuva about, when I was a kid, I don't think you see these anymore. They used to have a little candy called peanut chews. Ever see them?
Yeah.
Yeah? So they were from a company, I think, that made it. They were like really sticky and had peanuts, so like peanuts, generally peanut snacks. In Israel it's fine, but peanut snacks in America don't go over so well because a lot of kids are allergic. In Israel, you know, they feed them bamba before the mother even nurses them, so they're exposed to nuts and to peanut butter at a very young age. But anyway, so the peanut chews at some point went to DE. So the shaila was, if you're makan chol of Israel, can you have peanut chews? So Rav Moshe was makel because he said, even if you're makan chol of Israel, you don't have to be makan on DE according to the Shach. According to the Shach's reading of the Ramah, it's not a problem because you have the rov. It's in Yardei Chelk based on Laman Alf. Chachmas Adam is a little bit difficult to understand about what he does about this. Right? Chachmas Adam is very important because, you know, he's kind of like the Posek Achron. So he writes, Blios Gavina, the Blios of Gavina, of cheese, Efshar Shebehefsin Meruba Yeshlus Mochlahak Elalisar Vehetin. That is Efshar, that Efshar, that perhaps in Ruba you could be somech on the Yisra Vehetir. But look what it does. Val kolpanim b'chalav dekayel minei yeshlus mochalav. But chalav, which is more kal, you could be somech on it. Perhaps in Ruba or not perhaps in Ruba? I mean, what do you say? That when it comes to Gvina, Efshar, that perhaps in Ruba, so there are two qualifications. It's only in Efshar, and only if it's Efshar in Ruba. Then he can be somech about the blios. When it comes to chalav, al kolpanim, you can be somech. Yeah, al kolpanim meaning it's not an efshar anymore. Now I'm sure of it. But sure of what? Sure when there's a hefsin meruba that you can be somech? Or sure that even when there's not a hefsin meruba? So does he mean you can be making a chalav even shalav hefsin meruba? Or does he mean you just be making only when there is hefsin meruba? Not sure. I'm not sure how to, what he modified with al kolpanim. If it's only the efshar that he modified or something else. Now the trefus issue is a more serious issue, you know. But again, we're not going to get into that right now. Now, what about like yogurt and things like that, and cream cheese and things of that nature? So, okay, we'll introduce the metzias. Yeah, we have a little bit of time. Let's introduce the metzias a little bit. If you let milk stand, right, and then you churn it, you get butter. Right? The butter is very easy to make. It doesn't require cooking. And it can't be made with trefa milk. And that's why there's no issue with chemes akum, because only cow milk makes butter. You're not going to have butter from trefa milk. Cheese is different. Cheese is made by taking the milk, adding rennet, so you have to add something. It's not just churning it. You add rennet, and that causes separation between the curds and the whey, and then the curds develop into, you put them into a, what do they call it, like a cheese filter, like a cheese paper, where all the whey spills out and the cheese remains behind, and then, and depending on what sort of enzymes there are, and, you know, we'll have different tastes, stronger tastes, weaker tastes. So butter is more cal than cheese, because butter separates naturally. There's no rennet that's necessary. It's just naturally separated, and you just churn it. The curds become cheese, and the whey is thrown away, right, if you make cheese. So it's called mechalav or mechalav, right? If you want whey, you can take a container of plain yogurt, and notice that the liquid is separated, right? If you want to know what whey looks like, right? If you take the chobani and you see there's liquid like floating around the top, that liquid is the whey. So the entire sour part of the yogurt is in the whey. The rest of the yogurt is actually not sour at all, because once the whey separates, the whey is the sour part, right? So the rest of it is going to be sweeter. So more recently, they started using whey as an ingredient in different things, like in recent decades. So cheese and whey are a double problem, because it's both gvina satum and it's a treifas problem, meaning it's a kashrus problem. So not only the gvinas akum part, just like is it kosher to begin with. So for a long time it was assumed that there's no problem whatsoever with butter, even though there was a minhag la'asar, that there can't be anything wrong with it. Rabbi Reisman said that when he was younger in Torah V'das, Rav Gedalia Shor allowed them to serve butter that they got from the government, and they had like a little thing of Chalav Yisrael butter on the side for any Talmud who was so frum that he knew to ask for it. But Rav Gedalia Shor thought that it wasn't even worth being machmir. He didn't think that Brooklyn had a minhag to be machmir in butter. Now, companies now add whey cream to the butter. So now butter becomes a kashrus issue, because the whey is a kashrus issue. So if you're adding whey cream to the butter, so then it can become a kashrus issue. So cheese certainly needs kosher supervision, because the rennet and the starter culture and the additives all need to be kosher. If cheese is made from any non-kosher ingredients, we treat the whey as not kosher as well. And Rav Meisha held that even in such cases, even when it's made with non-kosher ingredients, the whey is going to be kosher, but generally you're machmir, not like Rav Meisha. Meaning the whey is the same product of the cheese, so whether you did the cheese making by adding a rennet or not, then it shouldn't have an impact on the whey, which is not really used in the cheese making, but nevertheless, we tend to be machmir in that. So the second issue is gvina sakum, even if everything is kosher. Let's say the starter was kosher and the rennet is kosher and everything is kosher. If the cheese is not cooked, then the gvina sakum issue doesn't carry over to the whey, because the whey is not the cheese, right? And it separates the curds from the whey. So the whey is not going to be the cheese. Gvina sakum is going to be the cheese part. It's going to be the curds part. So the whey should be fine. Problem is, a lot of times they cook the cheese together with the whey. Like when they make Swiss cheese, that's what they do. So now there is a tam of gvina sakum in the whey. So now you can have whey. W-H-E-Y. Now you can have the whey is going to be treif, because it was cooked together with the cheese, together with the curds, and now it's going to be able to treif things up. So, and there are cheeses that are cooked in water at 165 degrees Fahrenheit. That makes it more malleable, and that's definitely yatzaleda, so that creates a problem. Butter comes in different grades, right? There are different grades of butter. AA is the highest grade and has the least whey cream in it. The idea is that whey cream can make butter taste less bland. So that's why the highest levels don't have whey cream, because butter, if you're a butter purist, you want it to be bland. Like, butter is supposed to be bland. So when you add whey to the butter, it makes it taste less bland, and therefore it's because it adds a sour taste to it, because whey is sour a little bit. So the blander the better when it comes to butter. So how does the government test this? So the government tests, you know, the grades of butter by tasting it and not really by testing it. Meaning they have government tasters that will come and will see if it tastes bland enough. So some companies can use up to 5% whey cream in their AA butter and still pass the government tests. So it's not, which obviously is not butter l'shishim, right? So that's a problem. You know, there's a concept in kashrus, in the world of kashrus, called a group one ingredient, right? Group one products are things that don't need hashgacha. Water, sugar, I don't know, things like that. They just don't need hashgacha. So, so butter used to be a group one product, but they had to change that, because once they started adding whey to the butter, so there can be problems with the whey if the whey was cooked together with cheese. So then the whey is going to be treif, or if the whey was produced by a cheese-making process that involved treif or rennet, right? Either of those problems could make the whey problematic. So butter is no longer a group one ingredient. But again, not because of chemas akum, but because just kashrus, meaning you have a kashrus issue when it comes to chemas akum, so that it's a gimel minhag, right? It depends if there's a minhag, and it could be there's no minhag, or Gedalia Yeshua thought that in Brooklyn there was no minhag or that. So fine. But when you're dealing with a kashrus problem, so you have a kashrus problem. So it's no longer considered to be a group one ingredient. I think when they, the whey, why would they add whey to butter? If butter, the blander, the better. So I think when they add the whey, it makes it more cohesive. It makes it more, like, meaning butter is a bunch, is clumpy. And the better the butter, the more clumpy it is. So some people don't like it so clumpy. Some people like to be able to spread it more easily. You know, I'm not a butter snob. You know, I wouldn't even know if someone gave me AA butter. I would think it's disgusting. Probably I'd be like, it's got no taste. It's clumpy like crazy, right? I wouldn't be interested in it. So so the lower the grade, the butter for me probably would be the better, better butter. Now, then there's a separate issue. That relates to chalav akum, but it's, I guess, the bridge from chalav into gvina, at least as far as the conversation is concerned. And that is cheese made by a Jew, so it's gvina Yisrael with chalav akum, right? With chalav akum. So the Rambam in Ma'achol Surah Paragimel Lachat HaZayin says that if you buy butter from the non-Jew, you can cook out the tzuchei chalav and you can eat it. And the Magen Mishnah says, oh, it therefore follows that you can buy milk from a guy and make cheese or butter with it. And then you could just cook out whatever products there are. So the Kesef Mishnah says, no, once you buy milk from a non-Jew, it's chalav akum, and that's going to remain awesome no matter what you do. There's no way to kasher it by then making the cheese. So Ram was talking where you bought butter from the non-Jew where there was no formal decree because it was beyond the Shal Yisrael. You never got milk from the non-Jew. But if the non-Jew made milk and you got milk from the non-Jew, no matter what you do afterwards, it's not going to make it any better, says the Kesef Mishnah. So when you know what butter comes from, you know it comes from milk, but when you buy butter from the non-Jew, that's okay, because there was no gezeirah on chemes akum. But you know the history of the butter was that it was once milk? Yeah, but the gezeirah only applies once you had it as milk. If you never had it as milk, so then it's only chemes akum. So the only concern would be if there's some non-kosher milk mixed in the butter, so then you could cook it out. That's what the Rambam is saying. So the Ramah paskins like the Kesef Mishnah. Right? The Ramah paskins like the Kesef Mishnah. That once you buy the milk from the non-Jew, then it's going to be asur. You could buy butter from the non-Jew. So the Shach in Sifkat Yud Ches adds that if you know the non-Jew is only milking to make cheese, and that's meaning he's a Wisconsin non-Jew, he's not a New Jersey non-Jew, all he's doing is making cheese, then you can be certain that there's no non-kosher milk in it, because that won't make cheese, and it's okay to buy that milk from the guy to make the cheese. And the Rama mentions this idea of the Shach, but it's only Mekel B'diavet. So Maish explains, what's the Rama's hesitation? He says, you could say it in two ways. Either he was concerned that the non-Jew changed his mind and made some milk for his own use rather than for cheese making. So the Rambam would say, I understand that if it's all for cheese making, then there's not going to be a problem, because why would the guy possibly add anything that's not kosher if his intention is only for cheese making? Unless he was thirsty, you know, maybe that day he wanted some milk. What do they say? Milk is good if you eat spicy foods or something. Maybe he was having hot peppers or something and wanted some milk around to dull the effect or something. I don't know. Or he may have been concerned that you can't assume such an umdana demuchach due to the knowledge that it's bad business sense. Because maybe the non-Jew has bad business sense. You know, maybe the guy is new to the cheese industry and he thinks, oh, I have a chav that no one thought of. If I just mix in chalav tameh, it's going to be gewaldic. And no one told him, you know, you don't know how to make cheese, that you're an idiot if you're going to try to mix in chalav tameh. You can't rely on his knowledge. So Rav Moshe writes that you can rely on the shach because neither of the Ramah's potential concerns bother us. A company that has a lucrative contract with a Jewish cheese company would not change their mind one morning and milk for milk rather than cheese. Meaning, if they're supposed to be providing Miller's cheese with all the milk that Miller's cheese needs, so they're going to milk for cheese. They're not going to milk for milk. And we paskin that it is certainly an umdana demuchach, that's what they're doing, and that they do have good business sense and that they know what they're doing. So the whole inyan about the Miller's cheese versus the Ha'olam cheese, right? If you're makbid on chalav akum, see, if you're not makbid on chalav akum, so for sure Miller's cheese is. I should say, I don't know if the metzias is still true. This is like you make kedem. That was the shmua that Miller's cheese was made with non chalav Yisrael milk, and Ha'olam cheese was made with chalav Yisrael. They may have changed it 1,000 times. They may have flipped. Maybe that everyone's using chalav Yisrael. I have no idea. But let's just use that as the model. I don't want to get like angry emails from people at Miller's or at Ha'olam or whatever. The companies may not even exist as far as they know. I'm not a big cheese eater. So it would turn out that if you're not makbin a chal of Yisrael, so then there's no problem. The Jews are making the cheese, so it's not a problem. You're not makbin a chal of Yisrael, and it is gevinas Yisrael. Shaila is, if you are makbin a chal of Yisrael, do you need to be makbid on the milk that went into making the cheese? Right, that's the whole shaila. That maybe even if you're makbin a chal of Yisrael, you don't have to worry about the chal of Yisrael content of the cheese because of this Ramah. So that's a Ramesh's big kula, that you can rely, because of the Shach, that you can rely on the Shach, because even though the Ramah hesitated to rely on the Shach, he pulled back a little bit, but it was only because of one of these two possibilities, and neither of these two possibilities are Nogeya. Either he held back and he was hesitant because he thought maybe, even though normally they make the milk just for cheese making, maybe that day they're going to decide that they're thirsty. Or maybe you don't have such an umdud al-mukhach that they really know what they're doing, and that they're and that they're not going to use a tray for milk for and try to use it for cheese making. I should have thought neither of those things apply, and therefore you can rely on the shach. Okay, we're going to stop there. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Bez Hashem, no shir on Sunday, but yes on Monday is the plan.